Now, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 says, Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Father, we come before you, Lord, asking you to help us. God, thank you so much that through whatever we go through, Lord, you've always been there for us. Thank you for the girls singing that song as a reminder to us. And God, I ask you to just help us be faithful to preach your word. Faithful to love you with all of our hearts and to follow you. God, help me now as I preach your word. I pray you would speak through me. I pray you'd guide my thoughts and give me clarity of mind and help me to say nothing that I shouldn't, but to say exactly what you'd have me to say. Lord, help me to be filled with your spirit and to be sensitive to the leading of your spirit, God. And I pray you bless what we do as a church, God, and you'd help each of us, help each person here. I pray the preaching of your word would help them, would encourage them, would challenge them. God, I pray you'd be with the services at Landmark, God, how we need you. Lord, we need you every day, every hour. And God, use us. Please help us right where we're at. Thank you that you've given us your word. Help us to take heed to it in our own lives. And God, that we would love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all our strength. God, please help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a theme here as you get to the beginning of this. Jeremiah is relaying his call to preach, his call to be a prophet, his call to be a mouthpiece for God. And he keeps going over something and he emphasizes this fact, or rather God did, but Jeremiah is putting it here for us, that he's to preach the word that God, the words that God has given him. You can see that several times in the passage that we just read. He said, I have put my words in thy mouth. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And for every Christian, every one of us here, but especially for the man whom God has called to preach, your call is to preach God's word. Jeremiah was preaching God's word when it was out of season, when it was not popular, when they told him, stop preaching what God bids you, or we're going to kill you. They told him that. I say that's out of season. These were people that professed to be God's people. But Jeremiah was faithful to preach what God had bid him, and that's what every preacher needs to be. You have to determine now, as you answer that call to be a preacher, as God has placed his hand on you like he did Jeremiah, and says, I want you to be my mouthpiece in this generation. You have to determine within yourself that I am going to preach what God says, even if no one likes it. Now, there's a lot of men that say stuff like that, and they almost say it in pride. I don't care what anybody thinks. You ought to care what people think. Because people are who we're preaching to. Now, I understand when somebody says that many times, they mean that they're not going to stop me from saying what God wants me to say. And that needs to be the spirit in which that's delivered. You're going to care what people think. I'm telling you right now. A preacher says that, I'm like, you're a liar. You know, you do care what people think. That's why you're saying that, because you have to remind yourself that I'm not supposed to care what people think. I mean, why do you think God told them, be not afraid of their faces, because he feared what people thought? But you have to be determined that you're going to preach God's word no matter what. Especially when nobody likes it. It's easy when everyone likes it. When everyone, amen! That's easy. But whether it's on the streets we're preaching to people and we see them getting mad and start yelling at us and stuff like that as that's happened, you know, you preach God's word. or whether it's in here and people have scowls on their faces and it's gotten quiet and there's no noise happening. You have to preach what God says. And that's what Jeremiah did. And that's a call for us today. As God calls somebody, He encourages them, He equips them. But God also challenges men for the task before them. He will encourage you, He'll equip you, but He's going to challenge you. See, God doesn't ever want us standing still. God doesn't ever want us to be content with where we're at. This is for all of us. For those willing to listen, God is going to remove all excuses and point them to His word to preach. If we're willing to listen, God will remove all excuses that we have and point us to His word to preach. We can see it with Moses. Moses had excuses why he couldn't do it. And everyone in here has excuses why they can't do it. I don't know enough Bible. I'm not educated enough. It's too hard for me to study. I don't have the time. I don't this. I don't that. I'm not an eloquent speaker. Everything you can throw out there, God's already dealt with and answered it. He says, oh, you don't know what to say? You don't have anything to say? He's like, good, I already thought of that. I'm going to give you my word to say. Preach my word. He's, I've already given you what, that's out of the way. Boom, I know what to preach now. Just preach the Bible. Preach His book. That's what you're to preach. So there's one excuse gone. He says, well, I don't know how to speak. Moses didn't either. He was a stuttering fool. And God told him, hey, didn't I form your mouth? Didn't I make your mouth? Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. You the same thing. He says the same thing to you. He's like, I'll take care of that. Don't worry. God will take care of it. Most every preacher I know does not like public speaking. Now, they grow into it and get used to it, and you think, yeah, right. I'm telling you, most every preacher I know said, I never wanted to speak in public. I never wanted to be a public speaker. Ever. I didn't like it. I don't like being in front of people. Most preachers I know, that's where they're at. Not all of them. Probably 90% of them don't like to be in front of people. Or didn't at one point. You grow into it and you get used to it and understand that's part of the calling. You know, as a God-called preacher, you have to be willing to listen to the call from God's word. Look at verse 4. It says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, man, the word of the Lord shows up. And Jeremiah's got an option. He can either listen to it or he can ignore it. And that's the same thing for every one of us here. Every person sitting here right now. We can either listen to what God's word says or we can ignore it. And as God is calling Jeremiah, Jeremiah could have listened to it and taken heed to what God was saying, or he could have ignored what God was saying and said, I don't want nothing to do with that. I'm just going to go back about my business, doing my life as I've been doing for the past 20 years or whatever it is. Which is about when Jeremiah was called, right about that time. He said, I'll just go right back to doing what I've always done. I don't need any of that. I don't need those headaches that come with that. I'm not having anything to do with that. God, I don't want to. And there's a lot of men that have said that very thing. God's calling them. The word of the Lord came unto them. But they just, la, 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 la. Because they didn't want to hear it. So as God calls a man, that man has to be willing to listen to the call from God's word. And we need to understand also it's a God-appointed position. He says in verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. This isn't something that you just, I think I'll like that career. I'm going to go ahead and do that. Nope, it doesn't work like that. God has to call you to it. And only God can call you to it. You can't self-appoint yourself to it. God calls a man to it. That's how He works. It's a God-called position. It is a heavenly calling. And the God of heaven, it is this big of a position, it is this important that the God of heaven looked down and He said, I want you. And His hand came down and touched you and says, you're the one. You're the one. If God's called you to preach, I'm telling you, that's what happened in heaven. God said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee and sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God knew what you were going to be, what you were going to do, and He says, I want you. He chose you. It's a God-called position. No man can place himself in that position. And if he does, he's simply a hireling and an imposter. He's not the genuine thing. We can see what the false prophets did. They'd prophesy falsely. They said they were men of God, but they'd give false prophecies. And they'd say, oh, hey, look at it with Ahab and stuff. Hey, go ahead, you're going to have great victory. Guy gets the horns and all this. He's a false prophet. Wasn't God appointed? Wasn't God appointed? The God appointed man, Ahab, said, man, this guy never tells me anything good. Who was the other king that he had there? Starts with a J, I can't remember. Was it Asa maybe? Who was it? No? Joab? I don't know, I can't remember. No. I don't know. It doesn't matter anyway. The other king there, he was a saved man, godly man. He yoked up with the tribe of Israel, the northern tribe, and get together. And he says, Ahab brings all these prophets together, and they all prophesy great things. You guys are going to have victory and all this. And he's like, don't you have a man of God here? He looked at all these people. He said, these guys are a joke. Do you have a man of God here? He's like, yeah, there's one, but he never tells me anything good. He said, well, go get him. Let's hear from him. Go get the guy that always has bad news. Go get him. Let's hear from him. And he shows up and he asks him and he says, oh yeah, go ahead. Go into battle. You're going to win. You're going to be victorious. And Ahab knows this guy is lying. He knows the sarcasm in his voice. And he says, didn't I tell you to always tell me the truth? And he says, you go into that battle, you're going to die. And then they arrest him. And Ahab says, I told you he always gives me bad news. But the lying prophets, the hirelings, the men that weren't called by God, gave a false prophecy, and the man that was called by God told them the truth. Told them the truth. See, men of God, you got to speak the truth. You have to speak the truth. You will hurt people's feelings, and you're not doing it on purpose. You're going to hurt people's feelings. You're going to say things that people don't want to hear. You have to say things that people don't want to hear. That's what preaching is, because there's sometimes we won't tell ourselves things we need to hear. And we need somebody else to tell us something that we need to hear, because we won't tell it to ourselves, even though we know it. We won't admit it. And you have to be willing to tell them the truth. Not be a hireling or an imposter. You can't appoint yourself to that position. Understand also, this is a holy calling. He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. It's a holy calling. He says, I set you apart from everybody else on earth. Everybody else on earth. I'd never stoop down to be the president of the United States to give this up, ever. This God of heaven called me to be this. I would never stoop down to be a king. Lots of preachers have said that, and they mean it. Because this is a God-called position. God calls a man to this. In contrast, it being a holy calling, it means we need to live holy lives. But the priests in Jeremiah's day, here's what he says in Jeremiah 2:8, the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. See, this is where you have so many of the so-called preachers today that walk after things that do not profit, and your best life now and all this, and the prosperity gospels and all of that stuff, and ecumenical preachers that want to preach falsely. They're not sanctified. They're not walking after God and holiness and seeking to just preach His word, living after a holy calling. They've defiled themselves. Now this call of God is specifically to be a mouthpiece for God. Look at verse 5. It says, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations, a prophet. Most of the time we take that to mean, most people take it to mean that he's going to tell some future event. Most of the time that's not what the prophets did. Most of the messages they gave was just like is delivered from right here. It's a message, it's preaching. They were a mouthpiece for God to deliver God's message. And that's what this is. He said, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. It's specifically to be a mouthpiece for God. Look at verse 7 as well. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. See, to be a mouthpiece for God, and we can never lose sight of that, man. You can never lose sight of that. Christians, you can never lose sight of that as well, that we are to be a mouthpiece for God. We're to say, thus saith the Lord, and not change it, not alter it, not tamper with it at all, but to deliver it just like God said. The exact same way that God said it, we deliver it. That's why it's so important that we study to show ourselves approved unto God. So that we do deliver the right message. So that we do deliver. This is what God is saying to us, and we apply it biblically and properly to our lives today. We have to be students of the Word of God. A preacher must live and breathe the Word of God. It's not our opinions we preach, but rather what God says. And this does take diligent labor and study. It also takes an unwavering commitment to preach exactly what God says. We have to have a commitment to that. And I'm just telling you, man, as you prepare messages, there may be some times you get through a message, you're like, this is great, and you're looking it over and you're reading the passage and you realize you missed it. I missed it. That's not what God's saying. Now, what you may have prepared might be a biblical message in that it's speaking truth from the Bible. But when I say you missed it, I mean you missed what the passage was talking about. You're not saying what God is trying to say in that passage. And then you got to start over and fix it. And that's part of it. Jeremiah faced those that hated his message, and he was still faithful to it. Men, in your homes, you may have to deliver a message that your family might hate. They might despise, they might not want to hear it. But if we're going to be faithful to God, this is all men, whether God's called you or not. If we're going to be faithful to God, then we still have to deliver that message to our family. God will hold you accountable. God will hold you accountable to how you lead your home. We look at something like that. There's a direct correlation with that, being able to lead your home, with God saying whether or not you're qualified to be a pastor. Now, let me say this, that there's a difference between being called to preach and being called to be a pastor. But I don't think we're far off to say if someone wants to preach, they need to look to meet those qualifications as well. But you can preach God's word and not have everything exactly how it should be. But if you want to be a pastor, if you want to shepherd and lead people, God spends more time talking about that than any of the other qualifications in 1 Timothy 3. And we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 after this. When I'm done with preaching through Jeremiah right here, we're going to 1 Timothy chapter 3. God spends more time focusing on that than anything. He says, if you can't rule your own house, how are you going to rule the house of God? You can't do it. You have to be able to lead your home. You have to be able to lead your home. There's a direct correlation between that and being a preacher. Jeremiah's name means exalted of the Lord. Now, when you look at Jeremiah's ministry and everything that he went through, I'd have hated to be called to what Jeremiah was called to. He had a difficult task before him. And in our day of mega churches and the church growth movement and bigger is better, Jeremiah would have been looked on as a failure. You're too harsh, Jeremiah. You're too mean. You need to show some love and grace. That's what they would have told Jeremiah. Now, some guys take that to the extreme and they swing to the other end and say, well, I'm supposed to be mean and nasty and hate everybody and everything. No, that's not the case either. We're just to preach what God says. In every generation, we're just to preach what God says. And there's some good things that God says. Now, again, we need to take it in the context in which we live. And Jeremiah was living in a time of idolatry. They were an adulterous people, spiritually speaking. And God's mission for him was to call them to the carpet on that, to not hold back, to not pull the punch, Give them the full force of it. I mean, some of us maybe not know what it means to pull punches. Okay, it means if you're going to punch someone, I mean, when you go in to punch someone, if you're giving it your all, I mean, you're twisting hips and everything so they get the full force of that thing as you go and you swing into them and you pow. And I mean, if you're moving on them, then you just drive right through them and just boom, and you keep moving into them so they get the full force of that hit. What it means to pull the punch is to go like, bam, and as soon as it hits them, you pull it back. So it looks like you hit them, but you didn't really give them everything you got. As preachers, you can't do that. You come with the full force of God's word. It's thus saith the Lord. And that's what Jeremiah had to do. That's what God called him to. And in the context, God's judgment was imminent on them. He talks a lot about when their visitation comes. He's talking about their judgment. When judgment comes to these people, to my people, it's going to be swift and fast. Jeremiah, you preach it to them straight. And Lord willing, they'll get right. God knew they weren't going to. He knows what we're going to do. And Jeremiah could see it coming. That's why he's called the weeping prophet. He wrote Lamentations. He's lamenting, crying, because he's preaching to them and they're not getting right. It's not getting through. And I'm sure he felt like a failure. I guarantee he did. He's a man. He said, God, I'm doing exactly what you wanted me to, and nobody's listening to me. Nobody's listening to you. We understand it's to the Lord, but when you're the one doing it and no one's listening, you feel like they're not listening to me. And that's just how it is. That's the reality of things. God doesn't work in a vacuum where it's like their preachers are robots and they don't have feelings and feel things. That's not how it is. Jeremiah felt like a failure. I'm sure of it. At one point, he said, I'm going to quit. I'm done with this. I'm not preaching anymore. Jeremiah means exalted of the Lord. Man may despise our message and its messenger, but in God's eyes, his preachers are exalted. Jeremiah, exalted of the Lord. God told him, don't worry about it, Jeremiah. You're my man. I got you. I got you. Don't worry, Jeremiah. You're mine. He couldn't not preach what God had said. It's in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah said, I'm done. I'm not going to say anything that God has said anymore. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And if you're a preacher of the word of God, that's exactly how it is. He's like, I got to get this out. I've got to preach. For years, when I sat in the pew and I'd hear the preachers preaching, I'd say, I want to preach. I want to be the one preaching. I had a desire, a fire shut up in my bones, and I could not stay. I wanted to get up and preach. It's still the same way now. Whenever anybody else is preaching, sometimes I like the break of not having to study, but when it comes time to preaching, I still, Brother Brad gets up here, I'm like, I want to be up there preaching. Because there's a fire shut up in my bones. If you don't have that desire in you, ask yourself if you're called to preach. I'm not talking about you're nervous and scared. I've been nervous and scared and not wanted to get up because of that, but still within that, I wanted to get up. Amen. I was nervous and scared and afraid and all of that, but I still wanted to get up and preach. Amen. If you don't have that desire in you, you better check to make sure you're called to preach. Jeremiah couldn't not. His word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. He said, it was wearing me out trying not to do what God wanted me to do, not preaching his word. He's holding back. I was weary. It was just wearing on me. It was bearing me down. And he says, and I could not stay. I couldn't stay like that. I had to preach what God said. I had to preach God's message. And if you're a God-called preacher, that's exactly how it's going to be. It will not be any other way. He said, I have to do it. I'm scared, I'm afraid, I don't know what I'm doing, but I have to. That's a God-called man right there. In a culture that hates God and His Word, we must be all the more dedicated to preach what He says, no matter the cost. No matter the cost, you have to be dedicated to preach what God says. Because this culture we're living in, as I started this off last week, we're in a post-Christian society where we've moved past Christianity and it's looked down upon, it's spit upon, nobody likes it. It's just all roads lead to Rome. It's pluralism is what it is. Whatever you want to believe is fine as long as you don't tell me that I'm wrong. I can tell you you're wrong, but, you know, Christianity's wrong, but everything else is okay. You want to be a Satan worshiper? Go for it. You want to say, Hail Satan? Go ahead. That's okay. Find out you're a Christian. Oh, you bigot. You better just stand anyway. Better stand anyway. You have to be dedicated to preach what he says no matter the cost. I'm telling you, if persecution comes, you got to be dedicated to preach what he says no matter the cost. There it is. I found it. I'm telling you, we better figure that out. Lord willing, in our lifetime, it never comes. Never. But I'm telling you, I can't. I look at the Bible and I see what they're being, God is prophesying their destruction, them being taken into captivity, and all the atrocities that take place as another nation comes in as God's hand of judgment on them, and all the atrocities that take place, the horrors of all that, the families that are broken up and destroyed, the women that are defiled, all of that, everything that takes place within that. And why it happens, and I can't help but think America's on the doorstep of that. We're on the absolute doorstep of that taking place in this nation. And people want to say, oh no, America's strong. You know, how many trillions of dollars in debt are we right now? 20 trillion? I thought that's what it was. How long can we sustain that for before it all falls down? And we're weakened. And then another nation says, oh, now we can go take on. I don't think we realize how blessed we are. That we have never, since the War of 1812, had another nation even attempt to invade the United States of America. We've never had an outside nation try and do that. Someone wants to say the Civil War. Well, that was a Civil War. It was one nation saying, we're done with this, we're breaking it off. That's different. We've never had to fight war since the War of 1812 on this land. Ever. Ever. Now you do some research into wars and the atrocities that take place, the horrors that people live with. I mean, how would you feel having to go to the grocery store, worrying if bombs are going to land on you as you're walking through the street? How would you feel about that? Wondering if an army is just going to come and invade the land at that time and you just get caught in the crosshairs between both armies. And I mean it. The horrific things that happen to young women when a conquering army comes through. We've never faced that. But how do we know that won't happen? Why wouldn't it happen to us? Are we any better than God's people who he cast out for 2,000 years? Who do we think we are? Americans are so full of pride, thinking that we're the greatest thing on God's green earth. God bless America as we promote the sodomite agenda and the murder of 3,000 children a day. Yeah, God bless this. See, we need preachers who will stand up and preach righteousness. You're hated. If you come out against gay marriage, you're hated. This world's against you. Right now, praise God, we still have the First Amendment, but they're chipping away at it. Day by day, day by day. The Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, all of them, they're chipping away at them. Day by day, day by day. When they start passing laws that are hate speech or hate crimes, you better be against it, Christian. You better stand against any law that's passed as hate crime. Oh, it should be a hate crime if you murder a police officer, so their life's more valuable than mine. That's what it's saying. The sodomite's life is more valuable than mine. See, when we get away from God's standard that murder itself is hatred and ought to be dealt with the same no matter who does it or what happens, man, just string them all up. Amen? String them all up. Kill a cop, string them up. Kill a child, string them up. Kill an adult man, string them up. That's what we need to do. That'll kill all that. That's equal right there. Because murder itself is hatred. Christians, you ought to stand against all of that and any politician that stands for that stuff. Well, they're good on these 10 topics over here, but they're off on this one. Then they don't believe in liberty. And that's just chipping away at the foundation. They're going to take it away from us. I'm telling you right now. We're losing our liberties because we've just, oh, well, he's better than the rest. Why don't we start telling them, we don't want any of you. Go back to the Bill of Rights. Start believing the Constitution again. Well, we say, well, how do we get to that? Well, we start churches. And we see people saved and understand what true liberty is. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How? If you continue in my word. Then are ye my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom is found in the truth of the Word of God. That's why we have to be mouthpieces for the truth of God's Word no matter what. And we have to be willing to pay the ultimate price. And I thank God we're not in that, but we better be willing to be. We better be willing to be. I don't know how men like, you look at things like, I don't agree with everything that the man believed, but you could look at a man like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. How many of you have heard of him? He was a German. Okay, he was a German pastor, a Lutheran pastor during World War II in Nazi Germany. Okay, before that, in the early 30s, I believe it was, he came to America, he studied here, and he saw what was going on over there, and he went back. And who was the other guy? Richard Niemöller, I think, is his name. I don't, maybe his first name isn't Richard, but Niemöller, I believe, is how you pronounce that. He was another pastor there. And he made the statement, some of you have probably heard this statement. He said something along these lines, I'm going to paraphrase it. He says, when they came for the Jews, I said nothing. They took them. When they came for the gypsies, I said nothing. They took them. You know, when they came for the communists, I said nothing. They took them. So then they came for me, and I looked around. There was no one there to say anything. See, I don't know if this will be in our generation or not. Again, I pray that it never is. I pray we never have to face anything like that. I pray there is no persecution. I pray that America would repent and get things right, and we would be a nation that exalts righteousness so that God could exalt us and not send His judgment on us. I'm telling you right now, if the hammer hasn't fallen, we still have a chance to get things right. I mean, Nineveh was days away, and God gave them a chance. Why wouldn't He give us a chance? If we'll repent. But there comes a time as men that you have to make a decision. Ladies, you as well. But I'm speaking specifically to the men that say they're preachers in here, that say God has called them to preach. You look at men like Niemöller and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and what he did is he decided, he says, I'm going to become part of the Nazi party and I'm going to work for them to infiltrate them. And he helped to plan and stage a coup in the assassination of Hitler. Now it failed. He got caught. And this was towards the end of the war. Germany knew they were going to lose. It was over. Hitler still had him executed. He still had him executed. He shot him. My point in saying all of that is he had to make a choice at some point. Where's that line? I don't know where it is. We're going to have to decide if we get there. Lord willing, we don't ever get there. I pray we don't ever get there. I don't want to have to get there. I don't want to have to even be considering that. But you have to make a choice at some point. Where is it? Where do I take my stand? Now, we ought to already have said, I'm going to stand for the Word of God no matter what. And we have to be willing to answer that and be willing to decide. As things start going south, we're going to stand up and preach what God says. Even if it brings the wrath of the government on us. We're not alone. Our Baptist forefathers lived this. For most of our existence, we've lived this. And the time may come when we have to make that decision. I'm not talking conspiracy theory or nothing like that. I'm talking history and what it has been for Baptist people. This history bears this out. We have to decide where we're going to stand. We have to be dedicated to preach what God says, no matter the cost. Now, with this call comes the equipping of God to remove our excuses. And we're going to pick up with that next week. The equipping of God to remove our excuses. The challenge before you this morning, men, is, and ladies, will you stand for what the Bible says, no matter what? Or will you fear their faces? You girls are going off to school. Are you going to fear what your fellow students think, what they say? I just about guarantee most of them are going to be pro-gay marriage. Are you just going to keep quiet so you don't offend anybody? Or will you speak up and say your honest opinion? We can't fear their faces. When they come out with that, you ought to just say, that's disgusting. It is. That's disgusting. It's an abomination against God. And let them call you everything they're going to call you. We have to start standing. All of us. Now, we can do it in the right way. But I'll just tell you right now, no matter what you say, no matter how kind you say it, they're going to call you names. They're going to say you're bigoted, you're mean, you're hateful, you're proud. So just stand. Stand anyway. And don't compromise on the Word of God. Now, there's a time, if it's someone else's conversation, you don't need to get in it. I mean, that's their own conversation. Leave them be. But if you're involved in it, if you're there listening and it's your group of people that you're with, whatever, however it works out, you better stand. You better stand up and say something for Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of your Savior. He said it's an abomination. He didn't ever say in the New Testament. Yes, he did. Have you never read? In the beginning, God created them male and female. He said it. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. That's why you young people need to know exactly what you believe and why you believe it. You need to know what you believe and stand on it. Don't let them sway you from it. Don't let them lead you to compromise because you're afraid of their faces. Stand. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you.